again, maybe I will. I'm not going to be real long, but I want to share with you some things to remember. That's really my subject, important things that we need to remember. And there are so many things that we need to remember when it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm just going to touch on, if I have the time, about three things, possibly four things here this morning. Amen. So turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, or if you have your tablet or your cell phone or wherever you're reading your Bible from, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Amen. And I want to read two or three scriptures that are relative to my subject this morning, important things that we need to remember. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible, it says, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." The original King James Bible say, lest we let them slip. Amen. "For if the word," this is verse 2, "for if the word spoken through angels provided steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" Let me tell you something. We must hold on to the word of God that we have heard and not allow them to slip away from us, or not allow them to drift away, or should I say, we drift away from the things that we have heard. You know, Jesus himself said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Notice that Jesus said, "You shall know the truth." And it's the truth you know that's going to make you free. Now, from Genesis to Revelation is truth. This is the word of God, all right? And you can have your Bible sitting on your coffee table or on top, or behind your TV or wherever, collecting dust, and you never open it or to read it. It's still, what's on the inside is still true. It's still truth. But it's not making you free. Jesus said we shall know the truth, and the truth we know will make us free. So we're told here in Hebrews chapter 2 not to let slip the things that we have heard, the truths that you have heard from the word of God. Do not allow them to slip away. Don't allow the thief to steal the seed of the word of God that's been planted in your life. And let me tell you something. While I'm on this subject, it's been a while now. It's been a few weeks since we've been able to gather together here at church. But I want to say this, as your pastor, please listen to me. Do not get comfortable. Do not get comfortable with being at home on Sunday morning. Amen. Do not get comfortable with being at home on Sunday morning. I hope you are hungering for church. And I know that there are many of you out there that you can't wait till we can get back together again and fellowship around the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. We need each other. So we don't want to allow what we have gained already to slip away. Now, I've told you this, and I will repeat it again. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said the devil is like a thief, and he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He want to take away, listen to me real good, he wants to take away from you, steal from you, everything that you know about God. He wants to steal that away from you, because the truth you know and act upon is power, and he can't handle that. He can't handle it. So whatever you do, stay in the Word of God. Hold on to those things that we know are true. Now I want to go to number one thing, a very important thing that we as Christians must remember. You cannot allow this to slip away. And it's simply this: you've got to know that God loves you. And I know you may hear it often, but there's one thing to hear it, and there's another thing to get it on the inside of you, knowing that God loves you. Because when you know that God loves you, and you have it down on the inside of you, it does not matter what you go through or what you have to deal with. You know that God loves you, and you know that nothing, and I do mean nothing, no thing can separate you from the love of God. Let me tell you this, nothing, listen to me real good, nothing can separate you from the love of God. God loves you. Amen? Yes, he does. God loves you. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Let me tell you something. If God loved you and me when we were ungodly, you know he loves us now that we have given our lives to him. And by the way, if there's any one of you listening to me right now and you have not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that he loves you and he is waiting for you to give your life to him. Amen. But the Bible says when we were without strength. Now, I was reading that in the New Living Translation, verse 6 of Romans chapter 5. And it says when we, and I like this, it says when we were utterly helpless, God loved us. When we couldn't help ourselves, God loved us. And maybe you're right there right now. You feel helpless. Maybe you are addicted to something. Something has a hold on you. And I want you to know, even though you may feel utterly helpless, you may feel like there's absolutely nothing I can do about my situation right now, God loves you, and he wants to come into your life. He wants to be invited into your situation so that he can walk you out of it, so he can lead you out of it, putting his power to work on your behalf. He loves you, and he is a helper for the helpless. He is a helper for those who cannot help themselves. He is strength for those who are weak. Hallelujah. Don't you ever forget that God loves you. Maybe you're in backslidden condition right now, and you used to walk with the Lord, and you walked away. God still loves you, and he's waiting for you to come back home to him again. Amen. I hope you're saying amen out there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the second thing that I want you to remember is this. As we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday, in which Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Remember that his blood is precious. Remember that his blood is precious. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 18 and verse 19. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Money cannot buy salvation. Gold cannot buy salvation. Silver cannot buy salvation. Knowing that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but look at verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let me tell you something. We are blood bought. We are blood bought saints. Jesus paid a price for us to be delivered from the hand of the devil. Amen? It cost him something. He was whipped. He was falsely accused. He was nailed to a cross, an innocent man, nailed to a cross. All because of us. Because let me tell you something. It should have been us hanging on that cross. It should have been us that was punished. But thank God, he took our place. The innocent for the guilty. We were guilty. He was innocent. But he took our place. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's the reason, you see, his blood is so precious to me. Because it was his blood that washed away my sins. It was his blood that washed away your sins. As a matter of fact, I want to read, listen to me as I read Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. And this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. One offering. He'll never have to die again. Hallelujah. He will never have to die again. But verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hallelujah. Oh, let me read that again. You got to hear this. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 10. I'm down to verse 17. I want to read verse 17 to you again. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hallelujah. I am so glad that God chose not to remember the old James. He made a decision. I am not going to remember his old sins anymore. You know, too many times we go to God and we say, Lord, you know, I was wrong and I did this and I did that. And Lord, forgive me, you know, because the word of God says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we fail, when we fall, when we sin, we can go to God and he will forgive us. But when you go to God, you give it to God, leave it there. Don't take it back with you. There are folks right now, you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're born again. You're washed in the blood. But your past is still nagging you. The devil is still whispering in your ear. Remember how you used to be. Remember what you used to do. Now you call yourself a Christian. No. You tell the devil, devil, that's under the blood. That's under the blood. And you know what the Bible says? That he separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. As far as the east is from the west. Wonder why he didn't say from the north to the south or south to the north. Do you know if you go north and continue traveling north on this globe, this earth, you will reach a point where you will start going south. And you go south till you reach a point where you'll be going north again. But when you're going east, you're always going east. When you're going west, you're always going west. And God said, I will separate your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. In other words, you can go west or east looking for them. You will not find them because God has separated them from us. He says, I won't remember your sins anymore. Hallelujah. I'm not the same man or person that I used to be. The Bible tells us if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. You're looking at a new man here. Glory to God. Now, I've been born again ever since 1969, but I'm still a new man. I'm just as shiny today as I was in 1969 when I got saved. Praise God. I'm just as clean because I'm in him. He made me a new creature. Have I made mistakes? Yes. But you know what? I go to him and confess my faults or my sins to him, and I leave them there with him. Amen. And then I go on serving him. I continue serving him. Praise God. I don't play games with God. Well, you know, I'm going to go confess my sins because I know I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow. No. When you need to repent. That's called changing your mind about what you're doing. But when we do that, God forgives us. And he don't remember it anymore. We are forgiven. All right, now let me go on back. I'm going to read verse 17, then we'll go on into verse 18. Hallelujah. Wow. Time is getting away from us. Verse 17, and he had their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now listen at this. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Jesus Christ is our answer for sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we don't need to do like the Jews did under the old covenant, where they had to sacrifice bulls and goats, and they had to do it annually all the time to have their sins covered. But I'm so glad to know that my sins are not covered. My sins have been done away with. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews 9, 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hallelujah. We should shout today. We should shout this morning. Jesus shedded his blood, and I am free. You don't get, you don't get free without the shedding of blood. Your sins are not washed away without the shedding of blood. You cannot ever be free without coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The third thing I want you to remember is, well, let me go back. Remember, number one, God loves you. He loves us. Number two, remember that his blood is precious. And number three, I want you to know this, never forget that Jesus himself was made sin for us. The wages of sin is death. Somebody had to pay the price, and Jesus said, I will do it. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will do it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Now, pay special attention to this. For he made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Jesus was made sin for me, that I may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I cannot brag to God about how good I am, because Jesus took my place. I have to give him all the glory. And that's the reason some folks mistakenly think that if they work hard enough, they can earn their way to heaven. I'm here to tell you, my friend, you can't do it. It can't be done. You may sing on the choir. You may be on the deacon board. You may be a trustee. Or you may hold some other office. But I'm here to tell you that's not going to get you to heaven. It is good to serve. The church need people in these offices, but that's not salvation. When we stand before God, we can't say, Lord, I just want to thank you that I'm here and I'm ready to go through the pearly gates because I sang for you. I deacon for you. And whatever I preach for you, sad to say, there are even some preachers that don't know Jesus Christ. They're not born again. The only way to get to heaven and to truly be right with God is to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, having your sins forgiven. It's not by works. It's not by works which we do. It's by the grace of God that we are saved. Hallelujah. Oh, we should work, but not trying to make it to heaven through our works. We should work for God because we love him. Amen. When I preach and I pastor the church and all the other things I do for the glory of God, I don't do it because I'm trying to work my way to heaven. I do it because I love God. I do this because I'm called to do this by him. But I'm going to heaven because I'm born again. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell people sometimes, I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. I'm not. I'm going to heaven. I know that because I'm born again. But what I am trying to do is be more like Jesus in my life, in my service to him. I just want to be more like Jesus, and I want him pleased with my life. Now, don't get me wrong. Works are important because the Bible says one day when we stand before him, we will be rewarded. I'm talking about the believers, those who are born again. We will be rewarded for our faithfulness. We will be rewarded for our works. Amen. God keeps good records. So he knows what we're doing for him, and one day he will reward us for that, but that's not what get us there. What get us there is the blood of Jesus and us receiving him into our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, I think I gave you that scripture a while back, but it says that God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says that, well, let me read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Hallelujah. He bore our sins. He bore our sins on the cross. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins. Glory to God. If you are born again and you know it, say, I am dead to sin. I am dead to sin. Sin no longer have a hold on me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. So we having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not only did he die for my sins, but by his stripes, or the stripes were placed on his back, on his body, for the healing of my body and for the healing of your body. Glory to God. I like what it says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, and I'm getting ready to wind this up, and we're going to have communion together. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, it says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, listen to this, if you're sick in your body, please pay special attention to Matthew 8, 17. I'm going to read it again from the beginning. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself, who is he himself? That's Jesus. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus took your infirmities. He took your weaknesses. He took your inabilities. He took your helplessness. He took it all. Not only that, he bore your sicknesses. He bore my sicknesses. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. And finally, whatever you do, always remember to be thankful. Now let me go through them again for you, and then we're going to have communion together. Always remember God's love for you. Number two, always remember his blood is precious. It purchased our salvation. Number three, always remember that Jesus was made sin for us. He took our sins for us. That's number three. Number four, always remember to be thankful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body." And be thankful. Be thankful. You may not have what you need right now, but be thankful. You may not feel good right now. Maybe there's sickness in your body. Be thankful. Things may not be going the way you would prefer that they go. Be thankful. Whatever you do, be thankful to God, because truly he is good. And we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday today. It's proof of God's goodness and God's love for us. He gave us Jesus. Hallelujah. He gave us Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. For Jesus. For Jesus.